Amen. John chapter 4. Praise God. If you, amen, have it and are able, please stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. Let me say a word again. It's good to have everybody today. We love all of you. Amen. And we're thankful for you that are here today. Praise God. And just want to, amen, give you the word that the Lord has laid upon our hearts for today. Amen. Amen. Some familiar scripture that, you know, listen, there comes a point when a lot of especially the Bible stories and things should be familiar. Amen. If we've been in church for any length of time, amen, there should be some familiarity to some of these things. Now, there's a lot of things I know that are in the Word that, you know, we miss or you've never heard before. Amen. But praise God, I don't say that frequently when I say very familiar. Amen. But I know that God is faithful, and you're here today because God's familiar with you, your circumstances, your heart, your situation, your life, amen. And that's why he speaks the word when he does, why we are very sensitive to the will of God. And we don't just willy-nilly pick something to preach, but we seek the Lord for his guidance. So you can rest assured today, if you've showed up, God was already ahead of you, amen. Praise the Lord, and he's got a word for you today, amen. Praise God. John chapter 4, two verses, verses 13 and 14. If you don't have a Bible in your hand, amen. We have it on the wall here. Let's, amen. Everybody ready and have it, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. Come on, we'll ask the shofar. So we want you to put your hands together. Amen. Lift your hands, whatever. Give a shout. Whatever you do, make it happen. But give praise to the Lord for his word today. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Thought, drink again. Amen. Drink again. Look at your neighbor and tell them, drink again. Praise God. Drink again. Hallelujah. Now, I challenge you to read the whole chapter. Amen. All of chapter 4 sometime. Amen. This week, today, later. Amen. Praise the Lord. But especially, amen. Praise God. The first probably 35 verses at least in that. Amen. And we're going to try quickly just to bring into context the scriptures that we read to you this morning in 13 and 14. Drink again. Amen. Drink again. When we look at the context of John 4, amen, we find that Jesus has left Judea. Understand that Jesus has began his earthly ministry. Amen. His working. The disciples are with him, going with him. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 4 that Jesus was in Judea, amen, but he left Judea because his popularity was rising, popularity of what Jesus was preaching and who he was and what he was doing. He knew that there was going to be a confrontation, but he also knew that the time wasn't yet for such a confrontation in Jerusalem. So he left Judea and he went on his way to Galilee. I would that we would all be that sensitive to the voice and the will of God. Sometimes we have confrontations, amen. Sometimes we have spiritual confrontations that we wouldn't necessarily not have to deal with if we would just listen and follow the timing of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's a different message. But the road through Samaria was the shortest route from Jerusalem to Galilee. So going through, amen, Samaria was the shortest route, amen. But the pious Jews, the Jews that were religious, amen, and especially the Pharisees, but the pious Jews, they avoided the route, amen, on the road through Samaria from, amen, Jerusalem to Galilee, because there was a distrust and a dislike between the Jews and the Samaritans. Now, just a brief synopsis of why there was so much distrust and why there was dislike between the Jews and the Samaritans. So keep in mind that, amen, even though it was the shortest way to get to Galilee, they would go the long way around to avoid going through Samaria because of the distrust and the dislike of the Samaritans. You see, amen, the Assyrians had conquered back, amen, before, way before Jesus had come. The Assyrians had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, and they exiled almost all of the Jewish population, amen, but they left behind, amen, the lowest classes of society. So as they exiled the Jews, as the Assyrians took over, amen, praise God, the northern kingdom of Israel, and they exiled the Jews out of their country, they left behind the lowest classes of the Jewish people. Amen. And then 136 years later, the Babylonians conquered the southern kingdom, which was Judah, and they did the same thing. They exiled them to Babylon, but they left the lowest classes of the Jewish society there. And so what happened was the ones that had been left behind, those of that lower class, amen, as other population and other people begin to slowly come into the region, and this would be non-Jewish people, amen, this would be those who were not Jewish, as they begin to make their way slowly into the region where these lower class people had been left, they begin to intermarry with these non-Jews. And out of this, amen, emerged what we know as the Samaritans. Amen. And they lived in the town of Samaria. And so the Samaritans now emerged as not just amen, a group of people, not just an ethnic group of people, but they became a religious group of people. And so the Samaritans now, amen, mixed with Jew and Gentile, amen, so their connection to Israel had their faith, amen, they had now, as they begin to establish a religious system, a system of worship, now they were connected to Israel, amen, because of accommodation of the law of Moses, as well as some superstitions that they had been passed down from those non-Jewish people. So now the Samaritans had their faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they put their faith in the law of Moses, but they also added to that what we would know as traditions or superstitions that did not line up with the pious Jews. And so the Jews in Jesus' time, by the time Jesus comes, the Jews despise the Samaritans even more than they did the Gentiles, because there was an intermixing. Amen. There was an interbreeding between them. So they despised the Samaritans. And even though the Samaritans, some of their faith was rooted in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they still had very, very much dislike, and they literally despised them. Amen. They considered them as religious half-breeds, and their faith was a mongrel faith. And so they had no use to be with them. So they had, amen, this is why they would not even pass through Samaria. So they had no doings with the Samaritan people at all. Amen. And the Jews had even burnt their temple at one time. Amen. And this made their relations even worse. So they burnt the Samaritan's temple down. And so this just caused greater animosity and hatred. Amen. Literally, almost hatred between them. They despised them so much. Amen. But the Bible says that as Jesus was getting ready, amen, to leave Judea and make his way back to Galilee, it said he needed to go through Samaria. Now, not only was that the way to get to Galilee, but I believe that the writer was trying to, give us an idea that Jesus knew something, that the others didn't know, that he was going to pass through Samaria. See, Jesus was considered a lawbreaker. Jesus, didn't follow tradition. He didn't worry about the Pharisees and the pious Jews. Hallelujah, praise God. And so now, here he goes. He's going to pass through Samaria. He's going to go through, that forbidden territory, and he's going to find himself among the Samaritans whom the Jews hate. And the Bible says that the disciples were with Jesus, and they came to the city or the town of Sychar. And at Sychar is where Jacob's well was at. We won't go back, to that story, but Jacob's well, hallelujah, was in Sychar. This is where there was a lot of things that took place at Jacob's well. Joseph's bones were brought back from Egypt and buried in Sychar. So there was a lot of spiritual high points and pivotal points in the scripture at Sychar and the well of Jacob. But the Bible says that Jesus was exhausted. And he stopped at the well of Jacob. Now, it was evidently hot. Anybody that was out yesterday, it was hot. Amen. There was graduation parties yesterday, and that was the common denominator. Every other person you passed, she was hot. She was hot. It was hot. Praise the Lord. Better than rain, but it was hot. So Jesus had been making the journey. And so it was hot and he was exhausted. And so he stopped at the well. The Bible says that his disciples went on into town to buy food for lunch. So they were tired, they were hungry, and Jesus was thirsty. This tells us that he was in a fleshly body. Even though he was the Word, it was the Word wrapped in a body of flesh. So Jesus hungered, he thirsted. He got tired. Are you with me? So he knows every time you feel like you just can't make it, Jesus knows how that feels. Somebody needs to give him praise right there. I think we forget. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And so Jesus, they went on. Hallelujah. And it was, the Bible says it was 12 o'clock noon. And when Jesus had got to the well, the Bible says after he got there, there was a woman that came to the well. Now keep in mind that he was in Samaria. And Jesus, so noon, it was the heat of the day. He was hot, he was tired, he was exhausted. Hallelujah. And he needed some rest. But it was an unusual hour for this woman to come. And to also come alone. Because as was the custom, the women would usually go to the well. Now, the women were the ones that went to the well and drew water. It was typically not the men. But the women would normally do this in the early morning hours. And they would also do it as a group of women. So they would come in a group and they would normally come, in the morning hour. So for this woman from Samaria to show up in the middle of the day at noontime was not, the usual thing. How many knows when Jesus shows up, where he's not supposed to be, it's unusual as well. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it was an unusual hour for her to come and for her to be alone. Amen. So we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe there was a sudden need that she had to leave and go to the well to draw some water. Amen. Or there's a possibility that she was a social outcast and she was shunned by the other women. So she had to wait until she knew the other women were not going to be at the well before she would go and draw water for her household. Amen. Here's what you got to understand. That in those times, men who wished to get a wife would go to the well where those young women were there drawing water. Amen. Praise God. So you can read in Scripture there was often, amen, relationships that took place at the well. So men would come when they were ready to find a wife. They knew there would be young women at the well drawing water. So they would go to the well, amen, and they would begin to scope out, hallelujah, the women, amen. But there was also women of ill repute that would frequent the well as well, amen. Do I need to explain that to you, amen? What we would know as a prostitute. Why would the prostitute go to the well? Because she knew men were going to be at the well. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Men that were there looking for a wife. Amen. So even women of ill repute would go to the well. Amen. Many times. Hallelujah. I got to thinking about maybe the disciples passed her on their way into town, because she wasn't at the well when Jesus got there. She came to the well after Jesus was there. And so the disciples, as they're going into town and she's coming out of town, they very well could have passed her, and they would not have paid her any attention because she was a Samaritan woman, and they were not to talk or communicate with the Samaritans. Amen. They would have avoided her. But when she got to the well, Jesus already setting up, amen, the circumstances and the stage, if you will. Jesus said, "Can I have a drink of water?" Now understand that this woman, hallelujah, was taken aback by Jesus's question, by Jesus's, amen, request. Why? Because it broke from religious tradition. Not only did the Jews not talk to the Samaritans did not talk to the Jews. And so now here's this Jewish man, obvious Jewish man at the well. Here comes this Samaritan woman, amen. And Jesus is now asking her, amen, for a drink of water. So he has broken all the religious, amen, tradition. And so she was taken a little bit aback by that. Not only were Jews not supposed to speak to Samaritans, but a rabbi was not permitted to speak to a woman in public. Not his wife, not his daughter, not his sister, amen. He was not permitted to address a woman in public. So not only do we have a Jewish man, amen, talking to a Samaritan woman, but we have a Jewish rabbi, amen, that is talking to a woman in public in front of everybody. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't care what everybody else said about you? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't keep a checklist of all the mess that you were in and said, "It might ruin my reputation if I show up in their house. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. It might ruin my name if I, amen, if I'm seen with them." But I'm so glad when I was down at the deepest level of my despair, he came and he sat with me. He fellowshiped with me. He communed with me. He wooed me. He loved me. He gave me opportunity to rise up and show him, hallelujah, the praise and the honor that he deserves. If you're thankful that he found you and stayed with you until you got up, you can the rules. He was going against the pious law of a rabbi. Come on, somebody. And so she was taken back by his request for water. Not only was she a Samaritan woman, but she was also a woman with a questionable reputation. Come on. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, you read the rest of the story.
Yeah.
But think about this. Jesus knew that when she walked up.
Yeah.
He could have very well had the opportunity to not say a word.
Yeah.
And even if she would have spoke to him, he could have just looked straight ahead and not said a word. Anybody have ever had anybody do that to you? I have. And now you're sitting there right there talking about looking straight ahead, act like you're not even breathing the same air they are.
Exactly.
Yeah. But not only was she a woman, a Samaritan, but she was a woman with a questionable reputation. And Jesus said, if you knew, and she was like, what are you doing talking to me? You are a Jew. And the Jews are not supposed to have any doings with the Samaritans. She said, why are you talking to me? And Jesus answered, he said, if you only knew who it was that was saying this to you, then you would have asked him for a drink of water.
Amen.
Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? And if you would have asked, he would have given you living water. Come on. She said, you have nothing to draw with from the well, and the well is deep, because the living water was the water that was springing up in the bottom. The living water was, like water from a stream, that bubbled up and moved. But the living water in the well was the deepest point. That's the coldest water. Amen. That's at the point that it's the best. Amen. It's the coldest. Amen. And she said, the well is deep and you do not have anything to draw from. She said, where do you get living water from? Amen. And she began, hallelujah, to talk to him. And she said, you are greater than our father Jacob, are you? Now remember, again, they both have the same spiritual father, Abraham. And then Isaac and Jacob, and she said, you are greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us this well. Now you see that religious, amen, piety coming out of her, even though she was a woman, amen, with a questionable reputation, amen. This well is on our property. He gave this to us. He drank out of this well, and also his sons, and he also fed his cattle and his animals. Hallelujah. She said, where do you get that living water from? Amen. He gave us this well, and he drank from it. In other words, she said, this is our source and our provision. Amen. I really don't need your living water. I really don't need the water you speak of, because this is our well. Come on, somebody. And are you greater than Jacob, our father, who gave us this well? Are you with me? Are you catching that there? Hallelujah. She's like, I really don't need your water, because you're not greater than our father Jacob. Come on, if she only knew. Amen. Hallelujah. So she was like, this is my source and my provision. But Jesus started talking to her. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Amen. He said, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks out of this well that you're talking about will thirst again. Now see, you got to understand that thirst is a physical need that everybody has. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter where you come from, what your heritage is. Doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter where you don't live. Doesn't matter anything. Doesn't matter. Because thirst puts every one of us on the same level. Because all of us have a man that need to have our thirst quenched. And so now Jesus is using it as a spiritual need as well. He said, whoever drinks my water will never thirst again. Come on, somebody. He's hitting to a man. Didn't matter whether you're a Samaritan, a Jew, a Gentile, whether your daddy was president. Doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. Doesn't matter what kind of house you live in. Everybody needs water. Come on. And everybody gets thirsty. And so Jesus was saying, doesn't matter what you drink from, doesn't matter what your source is, everybody's got a need for God. Everybody's got a spiritual need. Oh, come on. Doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter who you are, how rich, how poor, doesn't matter where you live, what you live in, how clean you are, how dirty you are, whether you're lost or whether you're saved. You just got to drink again.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Are you with me? The key is to drinking it. What is thirst? Hey, man, everything that you long for, anything that you search for, anything that you might reach for, hallelujah, is that thirst. So you can go to the ends of the earth. And the Bible says you're still going to need Jesus. You can sit, amen, be listed as, amen, the top 20, amen, richest in the whole universe. And you still get thirsty. You're still going to need water. Oh, come on. And nothing will satisfy thirst like water. Not beer, not pop. Amen. Not Kool-Aid, not Gatorade. Amen. Not your energy drinks. None of that will satisfy your thirst. Matter of fact, if you just drink that, it will dehydrate you and your body will begin to shut down. Come on, somebody, but you need that water. Oh, come on, do you hear me? You need that water. So it doesn't matter what you try and what you invest in. It doesn't matter if you, amen, are listed as 2024 man of the year, woman of the year. If you drive the best car, if you have the most expensive clothes, or if you live in a tent behind a man Advanced Auto Parts, and you smell and haven't had a bath and a shower for 2 weeks, it doesn't matter if you, a man, how much you have or you don't have. At the end of the day, we all get thirsty and we all need water. And it's, that's why Jesus will show up with the worst of them as well as the best of them. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me? Thirst has no boundaries or discrimination. But let me tell you something. Drinking is action.
Yes.
And it's the action of receiving. If I drink this, I receive it.
Right.
Right. The folks that drank the Kool-Aid for Jim Jones, they received it. Come on, it's a truth. I know that sounds funny, but you got to understand, it's not a giving thing. Jesus wasn't saying, I'll give you water. He was saying, if you drink this water, come on, son, if you receive it, if you take it and drink it, you will never thirst again. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me? Why some of you are sitting parched and dry in the wilderness? Not because it's a season, not because it's the will of God, but simply because you're dehydrated. You're thirsty because you haven't drank of the living water. You drank everything else, trying to bear your burden with everything else. But Jesus said, I am that living water. Hang with me. I'm still laying foundation. A dirty face can drink water and find relief. Are you with me? A person of unworthy character can drink and it will remove their thirst. I hope you're understanding what the Lord is saying this morning. Some folk, you know, the pious Jews thought they were above the Samaritans. But at the end of the day, they all need the same water.
Exactly.
They all got to get it from the same well. Hallelujah. Exactly. So if you can't drink with me from the well, come on, somebody. Come on, do you understand me this morning? Hallelujah. Jesus was trying to help her to understand if you receive it. A righteous person can drink water and their thirst be quenched. So I'm trying to get you to understand that it doesn't matter your life and your circumstances, whether the past or present. We all get thirsty and we all need water. And whether you're in here today and you realize it or not, there is created in you a God sprite. He's in your DNA. You cannot believe in him all you want to, but he's all in your DNA. He's all up in your stuff. And if you'll start speaking his word and his life and drinking his water, it will react with your DNA. Come on, somebody. And all that has transpired on all the curses and the genetics that have brought you despair and heartache, he can heal them and restore them. Come on, somebody, because his word is his water. Hallelujah. Do you understand that today? So excuse me, whether you believe it or not, God is in you. And there's a spot in you that only God can satisfy. And until you receive that drink of water, nothing is ever going to bring you peace and happiness.
Exactly.
No amount of money, no relationship, no fame, nothing is going to bring you money. As a matter of fact, it'll be nothing but despair.
Right.
Come on, I don't know who he's talking to today. Spoke this passage of scripture to me late last night. We were sitting yesterday, a man at the table, one of the graduation parties, and Matt was talking about going, and him and Colin talking about going to preach, and whatever. I said, I sure wish I knew what I was preaching in the morning, because I don't have a clue. Not a thought, not a word, not nothing. But the Lord spoke this to me late last night, this passage of scripture. And this is what he birthed in me.
Amen.
From a story I've read and preached from, you can look at my Bible, all kinds of notes and dates and everything in this chapter. But drinking is more simple than eating. Drinking is more simple than eating. Now, there was a time when drinking wasn't easy for me. You know, I had neck surgery, and then left some of my throat muscles partially paralyzed. And so sometimes I struggle swallowing and drinking. That's why you'll see me up here. That's why when I was making an offer declaration, it started and just takes a little bit, and then everything, you're done. These guys kind of make fun of me. Pray for them.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yes. You think that's right?
No,
think that's right?
It's not.
We'll pray for them.
You're welcome. But drinking is more simple than eating. He said, what if you drink what Jesus offers? And here's the thing. I can hear some of you in here this morning. Well, I drank what Jesus offers, but I feel thirsty and empty again.
Drink again.
Amen.
Drink again.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
Drink again. It's as simple as that. When you're an addict and you take a certain amount of drugs, or you take drink a certain amount of alcohol, and your body has got to that point to where that certain amount doesn't do anything for you, what do you do? You increase it. But you do it again and again and again. Why? Because it gives you that result. It gives you that temporary high. Amen. And that's why when you feel like you're losing your mind, drink again. When you feel like you're not going to make it, drink again. When you feel like that Jesus is not with you, drink again, and he will remind you that if you go even to the ends of the earth, from one side to the other, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. See, you only get thirsty when you stop drinking the living water. He didn't say you would drink it. He wasn't meaning drink it one time and you'll never, ever thirst again. What he was saying is, as long as you're drinking this living water, you will not get thirsty. You will not need other things outside of me and the Father to sustain you and to give you peace. You won't need 10 husbands and these relationships and drugs and alcohol. You won't need all of that other stuff. You won't need a better job or more money or more recognition or more likes on Facebook. You won't need more stars on Instagram. Come on. You won't need a TikTok video where you can get paid for people to watch you. All you'll need is to drink again and again and again, and you will never get thirsty. Hallelujah. He sent his word and it healed them. His word is already healing. All you gotta do is drink it. His word is already peace. All you gotta do is drink it. Come on, somebody, do you understand?
Amen.
I'm trying to
Hallelujah.
Move on. But the key is you gotta drink it. But here's what he said, see. This is why you will never have to need for anything else outside of his provision and his source. Come on, Jesus isn't just a resource, he's a source. Your job is a resource. So when you lose your job, you still got Jesus. He's the source. So when you got that job, he'll get you another one. Come on, somebody. Are you understanding me? Do you realize what I'm talking about today? He said, this water will become, now remember what I told you, that living water was, they likened living water to a spring of water that bubbled up, that was lively, that was fresh. And then that, because the water came into the well from where? Not on top. They didn't stand to pour it in. They made a conduit. Ooh, help me. In case you don't know who your conduit is, it's the Holy Spirit. Come on. And then he makes you a conduit. That water comes from that stream comes from that spring and it flows into that well and it fills up. And so that living water is at the bottom. You don't see the movement at the top if the well is so deep, but down at the bottom there's movement, there's living, there's fresh water. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And he said, I am a well that will never run dry. Hallelujah. What did he say about restoration? We talked about restoration ministry. He said, I'll give you streams in the wilderness. Come on, somebody. Do you understand that? When there ain't supposed to be refuge, when there ain't supposed to be relief, he said, I'll bring it, I'll give it, I'll sustain you, I'll make your way clear. Glory to God. He said, this water will become a spring of water inside you, gushing up into life eternal. So if you're thirsty, you don't have to go to another resource. You've got the source inside you. Springing up. That's why you'll never get thirsty again. All you got to do is open up and drink it. You got to let it be living water. Come on, somebody. Why do you want to skim off the top? We just got our pool open. And those little fuzzies are the most irritating. Not only do they bind up your nostrils and your sinus, but You can skim a pool, turn around. By the time you get the skimmer put back on the rack, turn around, there's 40 of them on top of the pool. So I just swam with them yesterday. After that, I was like,
uh-oh. Embrace them.
It's not worth it. Why do you want to skim off the top of somebody else's resource?
Right.
My point is, I got tired of skimming.
Yeah.
So I settled for the fuzzies. Not everybody is going to skim like you. And they'll settle for things that you won't settle for, but then you're going to just pull right off the top of their well. Instead of letting that well spring up inside of you. That's why you'll never get thirsty, because when you feel like you can't make it, drink again. It's in you. That well is in you. It's springing up inside of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. It does more than quench the thirst, but it creates something good. It's in you. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, it's in you. And if you haven't, there's a place for it in you.
Amen.
Nothing else will satisfy until you get that out and take a drink of that living water, because it opens up a well that never runs dry.
Amen.
She said, well, give me this water. Give me this water. See, she was thinking of the physical, not spiritual. Give me this water so I don't have to come here every day and draw from this one. Well, that doesn't sound like the Western church, does it?
Right.
Give me this water so I don't have to work so hard. Give me this water so it'll make life a little easier on me, so I can continue to do what I'm doing. And get by. Come on, somebody, help me.
Yeah.
Amen. There's still a way, and that way is the right way, the righteous way, the Jesus way, and nobody gets to God except through Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Through that well. She's like, hey, if you want to make my life easy, more convenient, bring it on. You done broke protocol. You done talking to me. We're done conversing here. You claim you have this vast supply, and it won't make me thirsty again. So that means I won't have to come back here. Are you with me? She said, if it'll make my life easier, come on. See, sometimes people just pray to throw off the conviction.
Right.
And they really don't take a drink. And then they'll go right back. I'm like, oh, Lord, here it goes. Uh-huh. You're right. Because I don't want you to go where you don't need to go. I want you to go where I'm going. And that's to eternal life.
Exactly. Amen.
You hear me? Understand that?
Amen.
Praise God. She said, I thought we'll just get through that. Bring it on. But then Jesus said, because now, he's all of a sudden, he's going to follow protocol. Because if you're going to address a woman, her husband should be present. Now Jesus said, when she said, give me this water, it'll make my life easier. You know, I won't have to come here and draw all the time. They give it to me. He said, go get your husband. Come on. She's like, I don't have one. He's like, you spoke the truth. Uh-huh. You have said the truth. You have spoke well. Mm-hmm. He said, you've had five of them. Mm-hmm. But the one you're living with now, you're not married to. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. She said, I see you're a prophet. Nasty one. Why didn't I turn around and walk away? She said, oh, I see you're a prophet. She saw he was a prophet, but she didn't see she was a sinner. That'll preach later. Come on, somebody. She said, I see you're a prophet. See, she tried to avoid the issue by trying to debate on where you're supposed to worship. She said, oh, okay, I see you're a prophet. So, you know, this mountain, Mount Gerizim, there in Sychar, Moses had an altar there for the Jews there in Jerusalem. And she was saying, you know, we're supposed to worship on this mountain. Your people say we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. So she was trying to open up this debate. She's trying to, you can't catch us. She's trying to be slick.
Yes.
And he said, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now, you're not married to. She's like, oh, snap. What can I do to get out of this? Maybe I don't want his water. But Jesus said, you worship what you don't even know. See, you've got to realize that the Samaritans had only accepted the first five books of the Hebrew Scripture, and they rejected the rest of it. Now, we know the Jews embraced it all, right? They had a full revelation about a Messiah, and that the Messiah was coming, but they knew that the Messiah was going to come from them. Come on, they had full revelation. The Samaritans were worshiping things they did not even know. Jesus said, you worship what you don't know. He said, but the time is coming when worship won't be about the place.
Right.
It won't be about whether you worship in Jerusalem or you worship on Mount Gerizim. It won't be about, but it'll be about the position.
Right. Amen.
The position of the heart of the worshiper.
Yeah.
It won't be about where you are and you can only worship here and that's the right place. He said it'll be about the heart's position, because there'll come a time, and it's coming, when if you're going to worship the Father, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You got to have spiritual revelation, and it's got to be in the whole truth and nothing but the truth, not just the first five books and reject the rest. It doesn't matter who the Messiah is coming from. When you have revelation of who the Messiah is and what the Messiah is going to do when he comes, it won't matter where he's coming from. It won't make a difference to you. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. He said, praise God. She said, I know that a Messiah is coming, and he'll tell us the rest of it. Jesus, like, oh, my. She said, we don't need the rest. So what she was saying is, we don't need the rest of your Hebrew scriptures. Because when our Messiah comes, he's going to tell us everything we need to know. God, somebody help me. Hallelujah. So relevant to today, right? Hallelujah. But Jesus, his response to her was, I am he who speaks to you. I am he who speaks to you. I'm about to get finished. Hallelujah. I am he who speaks to you. Right that minute, she had a revelation. Her eyes were open. She went from the physical to the spiritual. Oh, come on, somebody. She forgot what she came to the well to do. She had a revelation when the I am spoke to her. Come on, somebody, do you hear that? My mind went to the Garden of Gethsemane this morning when I was studying this. And when they came to the garden to arrest Jesus, Judas was still present. And they said, we've come to arrest this one who calls himself Jesus. And he said, I am he. And the Bible says that all of a sudden, those Roman soldiers and that army fell back and they went back down on their backs. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Because of the power in the words of I am. Come on, somebody, do you understand? Now listen, I know that all the movies and the stories show just a handful of soldiers, but if you'll study the context, there was hundreds of soldiers that came to the garden to arrest Jesus. Amen. And all of them went back. They started staggering when they said, we're looking for this Jesus. And he said, I am he. And all of a sudden, but oh, somebody help me. Oh, and they went down to the ground. Hallelujah. But listen, the story gets better. We don't pay a lot of attention, amen, to some of the other details. Because the Bible says that when Jesus went willingly, that there was a young man who was standing off to the side, and he was watching and following Jesus, and they tried to arrest him. They tried to apprehend him, but he was wearing nothing but a linen shroud, a linen cloth, and they tried to arrest him, apprehend him, but he left his linen garment and he went running naked. He had nothing on underneath him. Hallelujah. You say, what about it? Well, here's what you got to understand. It's why context is important.
Yeah, exactly.
Because at the base of the Mount of Olives, where the Garden of Gethsemane was, there was a well-known populated cemetery. And when you read the Hebrew and you look at the context, that linen cloth that this young naked man was wearing is translated the same word as the linen cloth that was around Jesus when he was in the tomb. So this young man was wearing grave clothes. I need somebody to help me. So what can we conclude from this? When Jesus said, I am, it must have caused a rumble at the foot of the mountain. And the graves began to rumble. And that young man came up out of that grave. And he wanted to see, who was it that brought me up? And when they said, we're going to grab you and arrest you, he said, no, you ain't. I've done had enough of that. And he left his grave clothes. I'm looking for somebody who's ready for a fresh revelation. Oh, couldn't catch it. Oh, I feel the skeptics in here. I'm not sure if I believe that. I don't mean that ugly, but I'm done past all that. I'll take a drink again.
Amen.
And at the end of the game, come on, sweat, you hear me? I don't mean that ugly. But my point is when the revelation of the I am came, there was a shift. There was a change. And the Bible says that at this point, when Jesus said, I am he who speaks to you. I wonder if she was like, what? But the Bible says it was at this point that the disciples came back. And they were amazed that he was talking to this woman. Now, they were thinking it, but they didn't speak it, the Bible says. They were thinking, why is he talking to her? What purpose does he serve talking to this Samaritan woman? What's this all about? Now, so that tells me Jesus knew it. They were thinking it, but they didn't speak it. But then, this is what got me to this whole message. I'm not to finish. The Bible says at that moment, she left her water pot. The very thing that she used to carry water. That which was her means of survival. Are you with me? Someone could have taken it, but she left it to go tell them about this Messiah. He's come. I think he's the Christ, the Bible says. Now, Christos was not a word used. That's a Greek word. She would have been, I think he's the Messiah. Now, remember, they didn't believe. They didn't even like the Jews, let alone for her to say that the Messiah was a Jew. Are you with me? Do you see what Revelation did? The revelation of the I Am? Are you understanding that? Lord, I want you to go to Moses and his revelation of the I Am and the glory and the bush that burnt and was never consumed. She left her water pot. Now, here's what you got to understand. Her water pot wasn't like a pitcher. This would have been a big ceramic pot. Usually had two handles. They either carried it on their shoulder or on their head. She left that water pot and she went to tell them, I think this is the Messiah. You need to come. This man done told me everything I've done. And I think he's the Messiah. And so the disciples start begging Jesus to eat. Eat, Master, eat, Master. You're exhausted. You're depleted. You're tired. It's hot. You're thirsty. You're hungry. Eat. Jesus said, I have food that you have no knowledge of. And they said, oh, somebody brought you food before we got here? They didn't. They said, oh, well, somebody got here before we did. Somebody brought you food. Someone did bring you food already. Jesus said, my food, what feeds me. I will preach about that sometime later. What feeds me, what sustains me, what keeps me going, what keeps me in forward march is that to do what the Father sent me to do and to bring his work to completion.
Amen.
like what that unheavenly terms, to finish what he's already started. That's what feeds me, Jesus said. That's my food. Bet you never thought you needed to feed Jesus, did you? Are you with me? He said, that's my food. Can I tell you, the Lord has spoke to me today and that to tell you that Jesus wants to finish what God has started in you.
Amen.
He wants to bring it to completion. But you got to be willing to leave your life. You need a fresh revelation of the I Am.
Amen.
And when you get a fresh revelation of the I Am, you're willing to leave everything that has hindered you. Now think about, she was anticipating having to carry that heavy load back home.
Yeah.
That pot filled with water. Some of you come in here today. You set your water pot down so you can lift your hands and praise and go through the motions, but you pick it back up and you fill it with everything else except the living water, and you bear that burden. Carry that load unnecessarily.
Yeah. Right.
When it's not yours to carry.
Yeah.
It's not meant. Because you're filling. That's become the very thing. She left it. She left it at the well. She had such a revelation of the I Am, of the living water, that she left that water pot, didn't think about whether somebody was going to take it, but she went with her revelation of the Messiah. What did the young man at the garden do when he got revelation of the I Am? He left his grave clothes. See, some of you are okay with coming out of the grave, but you're like Lazarus when he came out. You're still bound up in the grave clothes. You're unnecessarily restricted. Held back because of the gray clothes. But that, just as that woman left her water pot, that young man left those gray clothes. Jesus had brought resurrection and life to him. He may have been naked, but naked you come in, and naked you shall go out. When we strip down to where it's just us, no pretense, nothing covered up, nothing bearing, nothing trying to bear. Some of you are trying to bear that water pot in vain. You don't need to. What you need to do is drink again. Drink again. Jesus said, I come to finish. All of a sudden, his hunger and his thirst was the least of his concern.
Thank you, Lord.
He was more concerned with doing the will of the Father. And I come today to tell you that I believe, as they come to the music, I believe Jesus is waiting to give someone revelation this morning.
Amen.
And you can leave your water pot, the thing that's been your survival, the thing that has been your norm. See, she was like, give me this water so that I don't have to come do this. You want to make my life easier, so be it. Yes, sir, bring it on. Can I tell you, he wants to make your life easier. Jesus came in that you could have not only eternal life, but abundant life here on this earth. But you gotta drink. You gotta receive the drink by faith. It's an action of receiving. See, faith is the same way. Faith isn't about what you can do to make faith work in your life. Faith is about receiving what Jesus has already done to work in your life. Drinking is an action of receiving. It's not about the person giving it to you. It's about you receiving it and taking that drink. All you got to do is drink again. Stay with me all across this place. I hope this has made sense to you today. I don't care who you are, what you've done. I shouldn't say I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's just a hillbilly thing. I don't care. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you're at, how long you've been down, what took you down, why you went down, why you stopped drinking. Doesn't matter. On a spiritual level, all of us are the same, because everyone in here gets thirsty, and the only thing that's going to satisfy that thirst is the same thing. Physically, water. Spiritually, Jesus. Doesn't matter how hurt you've been. Doesn't matter how wrong you've been done. That same water will begin to heal that wound. It's the only thing that's going to quench. So as they begin to worship, if you're here today, I believe there's some folks here that can make a decision to say yes to Jesus. I just feel that today. I just feel that today. That you can make a choice to say yes to Jesus. All you have to do is drink. All you have to do is take that first drink.
Drinks you take, it'll
will open up that well of living water, springing up eternal life into you, so that everything, every time you take a drink, it's activating eternal life. It's activating eternal life. It's activating, sustaining you. Do you understand that? Every drink you take, it activates eternal life. So they begin to sing. If you've come in here today and you're weary, you say, Pastor, I'm tired. I'm just exhausted, whether it's mentally, physically, both. And I'm just at my place. Get out of your seat. Come drink. And I don't say that lightly.